You're listening to New Churches Podcast, a production of Send Network on newchurches.com. We discuss all things church planting. If you're looking to take your next step toward multiplication, you're in the right place. newchurches.com provides relevant and reliable resources for church planters, church multipliers, and disciple makers. Our growing library features pastors, planters, and church leaders like Ed Stetzer, David Platt, Matt Chandler, Trillia Newbell, Christine Hoover, Dehati Lewis, Trevin Wax, and many others.
Hey, Ed Stetzer here. As always, we're talking on the New Churches podcast about issues that we hope would be really helpful to you. You know, we actually strategize sometimes things that might meet the point of need. And this is one that, I don't know, you might be listening to and say, I'm not sure I want to hear this one. I know I'm the worst ever at getting you to stay on the podcast, but we want to talk today about brutally honest feedback, which is not something that a lot of people actually seek and or receive. And so we're going to talk about it with two guests. We've already introduced them in prior episodes, but Dan Darling, he's author, pastor, leader. He leads the Land Center for Cultural Engagement. And Jess Thompson is director of operations for New City Church Planting. We've heard her several times on the podcast before. She was at McLean Bible Church before that and now works with church planting families in DC and beyond. So let me remind you, in reference to Dan, that Dan actually has a course, Using Online Conversations for Good. That's a new course, and it's a great tool for the busy pastor who wants to help team members learn to interact online with wisdom. And sweet mother of pearl, this is necessary today. This 10-session video course is filled with biblical and practical advice about communicating online in our complex and increasingly complex cultural moment. You can find Dan's course on the courses page of newchurches.com. And like all of our courses, Using Online Conversations for Good is actually free. Okay, so let's talk some about getting brutally honest feedback. Because here's one of the things I have found, is that it is hard to get people to give you brutally honest feedback who are on your side. I've got all kinds of people who want to give me brutal feedback. I think some of it's honest feedback, but not people who are always, they might be honest from their perspective, but not people are always there to do it constructively and in ways that are helpful. Dan, you and I have talked, you know, we're friends. So we've talked before. We've both worked in situations with leaders who just didn't receive brutally honest feedback. We've really tried to be and maybe struggled at times ourselves receiving brutally honest feedback. How do we solicit and receive constructive criticism from trusted advisors?
I think this is vitally important for every leader, whether you're leading a massive mega church or you're leading you're a church planter just starting out. And in fact, I would say it's a habit that you start not when you, after you get big or after you get really successful, but you cultivate it before that moment by allowing people into your life, into your inner circle, who you have given permission to give you criticism. I'm not talking about cynics here. You know, there are cynics that, just don't care about the mission and they're just always cynical and they're not for you. But I think allowing people into your life that are willing, that you've given permission to tell you no, that can tell you, hey, you know, I think you said this to this one group and you shouldn't have said it that way. Or, hey, you know, the way you acted over here, or hey, the thing you posted online, you really need to reconsider that. And it's really up to the leader to allow people into their life to do that. Because if you push that away, and it happens early, if you start pushing that away early, what happens is you create this bubble around you that when you do get really successful, you have a scenario where maybe no one's told you no or said anything contrary to what you think in like, you know, 5-10 years. And it's really dangerous for a leader. And so I really think it's important. I've been in multiple organizations, some that had leaders that welcomed that, some that had leaders that did not like that and actually punished people for giving honest feedback.
Yeah. Me too. You know. Me too. And one of the things we've been friends enough. I'm thinking of a situation where you and I have actually talked and you reached out once and said, did I blow this here? And I gave some feedback. And I remember a couple of years ago, I called you the same thing. Have I pushed too much here? And so I love that we have enough of a relationship. We've solicited and given some of that honest feedback, but it doesn't mean I have to take every bit of a person's advice. But the challenge is that church planters, because they're often driven people, even though, you know, you might get to a place, I mean, you're the director of a center for cultural engagement. Maybe people won't say things to Dan Darling because he's at this higher leadership level. But I've found that the church planting role, particularly sometimes the power distance that's created with the entrepreneurial leader coming in, creating new and more, that in and of itself pushes away criticism. And, you know, and sometimes people are like, well, you know, I just got to stay focused on the vision. You're trying to push against the vision. No, I'm not trying to push against the vision. I'm trying to help you make a better decision. So Jess, I want to go to you because church planners by nature tend to be bold and faith-filled and, you know, all those attributes that we've talked about on prior episodes. But when you think about your own leadership journey, and then also I want you to reflect on some of the church planners and church planning families you work with, have you been able to receive that feedback? What's it been like, and how have you passed on that feedback to others? Talk to us and unpack that a little bit.
I think ultimately you have to ask yourself, do you really want to hear it? You know, are you actually open to receiving the feedback? And I think you have to separate the content, what is being shared with you, from your emotions, and really try to listen and ask questions and understand before that reaction. It's uncomfortable. It's not going to feel good. It's not always going to be pleasant. But I know for me, early on in ministry, I worked for a pastor, and I just wasn't succeeding. I wasn't doing my job in a way that that was working for him or for I or for the ministry. And so it was just a season of like struggle and doubt and questioning. Has God brought me here? Why am I here? And, you know, like you said, you're ciphering through how much of it is, you know, true, how much of it is me. But I think there's always lessons in it. You know, for me, the lesson was I was depending too much on my own skills and not depending on the Lord. And through that season, I had another supervisor come in who really believed in me and pushed me. So often I think you have to filter out some of that, but you have to be open to hearing it, to reflecting on it, to figuring out what it is that you can learn from it. And then how you can improve in that. So I know that for me, that's always hard, but I think you know, humility is a verb sometimes, right? You have to actually work on being humble, and it doesn't come easy.
That's such a good word. I think for a leader, it's incumbent on you to really empower people, as I said before, to give you that kind of feedback.
Yeah.
And you may, you actually have to tell your team and say, listen, I want you to give me honest feedback. I may not always go the direction you want to go, but I do want to hear it. I want to hear where you think there's gaps and areas in my leadership or in our organization that we need to fulfill. But really actually just kind of, you know, tell people, listen, you're empowered. You're not going to be fired. I'm not going to be mad at you if you tell me those things. You may also need to think about the structure of your team. You know, it's very easy for a leader to surround themselves with people who are not just for them, but who are sycophants. There are people who just think you walk on water and have never sinned. And you want people on your team who are for you, who believe in you, but also know that you're a human being and that you have frailties and that you're not Jesus. You follow Jesus. And I think that will help empower people as well. I mean, at the end of the day, leaders have to make decisions. And so you also don't want to have paralysis by analysis where you're constantly hearing this side, that side, and you never make a decision. At the same time, you want to make sure you're getting all the available information. You want to make sure you hear everything that's coming. You know, people who can say, hey, here's what I'm hearing, here's what I'm seeing. And if you don't do that, I just think you're setting yourself up for some kind of failure.
Yeah.
And I'm curious, you, Ed, I mean, you've led in several different organizations. You've set up teams and people that work around you. What are some qualities of people that work for you that you look for? And how do you empower people to say, hey, listen, you work for me, but feel free to tell me if there's an area that I might not be seeing.
Yeah. So good. You know, a lot of the people from the past organization that I serve with. And so, when I left, actually, when I came to Wheaton, I wrote a little kind of a 4-page, introduction of myself and sort of some of the cultural values. And I use that when I teach leadership. So I say, I verbalize this and I send a follow-up email. So it wasn't just an email. And one of the things I said is that I want you to speak honestly, freely, truly, and to me. And I cited when I left Lifeway, the Micah Fries, who you know, tweeted, you know, Ed taught me not to be a yes man, to speak up and speak clearly. And I put that in the letter, and then Trevin Wax responded to that. And he said something like, it'll call you out if he thinks he's just being a yes person. And so I think of people like, and Amy Whitfield and others that you would know who actually in the world in which I lived and sometimes in the denomination that we've served, leaders don't receive that kind of feedback. It's almost a protected bubble that they're in. And I really value that. But that was people who worked, I'd say, for me, because we were a team together, but they worked for me, whatever you want to call it. And so when I was coming into a new team with new people who would work, who would report to me, I actually cited prior people who I wanted to hear back from, and I still listen to. But the thing to me is probably the best person that I've ever experienced that from is actually someone that probably our listeners would know less of. They might know the name Trevin Wax, for example, but they wouldn't know the name Brad Wagoner. So Brad was my supervisor. And the first, when I was at Lifeway, I was a vice president. He was executive vice president. I forget the exact titles. They moved while we were there. And he actually, the first time we had my annual review, now I've had an annual review for most of my professional life. I guess when I was a pastor, we didn't do that as much until we installed elders, but then we did that. But, you know, as I've worked at a seminary and Lifeway and a mission agency, and for the first time, somebody comes into my annual review, and he says, here's some things that are just really great. It's very encouraging. It's very kind. He said, this has been a really good year. But then he said, here are some things that I think have become issues that hinder your forward progress. And I thought, okay, he's going to say a couple things like, Ed, you're too sarcastic. The things I tend to hear sometimes in these things. And he had a list of like 9 specific things with examples of them. And I was a little bit stunned at first. But the process was so wonderfully redemptive. He said, so let's work on some of these. I think he said, let's work on a couple of these this year. And then the next year he came and we worked on a couple of others. And I will tell you, I had more substantive change in my leadership and my life. And that was mostly my 40s with somebody who cared enough to say, you know, this becomes a key thing for us. And so it was us. We were in this together first, and he was on my side, and he would be a better leader. And I will tell you, it was a little jarring at first because I'd welcomed it from people below me in the org chart. But once I got past it, what a joy it was to have someone every year who'd help me be better at what ultimately there. But the challenge is, I mean, it's hard to receive feedback because, I mean, we're all insecure at some level. We all want to hear all the good parts of the annual review, but not the bad parts of the annual review. And this becomes a key part of that. Dan, talk to us a little bit about that, because receiving some of that feedback with personal insecurity or security issues and hearing feedback, these are all related and tied together, no?
I think they really are. I've come to believe that security and insecurity, how you feel about yourself and know about yourself, it's one of the most important parts of leadership. I didn't used to think this, but just having seen a lot of different kinds of leaders up close, understanding as one psychologist, a Christian psychologist puts it, you know, the fact that you know God and you're known by God. And if you have that security in Christ of who you are, you know who you are, you know what you're called to do, I think that frees you up to then take criticism and take negative feedback. And again, we're not talking about trolls. We're not talking about people that don't care about your ministry. We're not talking about drive-by cheap shot artists, you know, online. We're talking about people you've empowered close to you who are for you and for your ministry, who nevertheless want to see you grow and give you feedback. And so I think personal insecurity, your emotional IQ really is vital for receiving feedback. And I want to just say, sometimes the feedback comes from outside the organization, you know, brother to brother. And Ed mentioned a couple times, we've done that back and forth. I remember one time real quickly it was an election season a few years ago, and Ed had the courage to send me a text with a few of my tweets and say, hey, man, I kind of see where you're going here, but I really think you're a little bit, you know, this is a little bit too much. You're a little bit too, I guess, pugilistic or sharp here. And I was grateful for it because it really kind of set the trajectory for the way I engage. I actually mentioned that in my course. I don't mention your name, Ed, but that's what I'm referring to. And I'm thankful for it. And so I think being willing to say, okay, you know what? I don't like hearing this, but this is really important for me, is really good.
Yeah, no. And I think it's been a blessing to be able to, and you've spoken to my life as well. It's been a blessing. We're having this tender moment, Jess. So forgive us.
I'm loving it. I love it. Well, I think what you're both saying is you need people in your life who don't just feed your ego, but fill your gaps. You know, where are those gaps in your ministry, in your life? But you have to invite them in and have those relationships where you're open to hearing that.
I love that. Don't just feed your ego, but fill the gaps. I love that. So come back to church planting, because this is where you're living your life working with church planters, Jess. What are some feedback rhythms that you maybe encourage people to bake into the rhythm of their schedule to provide and define some of that occasion for that feedback?
I think one thing Dan was mentioning is sort of there's certain atmospheres that you can create as a leader where feedback is welcomed and invited, and you can tell when it's not and you can tell when it is. So I know one thing that I've seen just in ministry over the years is every Monday after a service, we would have a service review, and everybody would get in the room and we'd walk through all the elements of the Sunday, and we'd talk about what went well, what in the sermon went well, what didn't go well, what did we like about worship? And we would just really highs and lows of each area, from the greeters, you know, to the bulletin. So I think creating something where you're soliciting feedback, people are giving it, you know, that already just creates an environment of, you know, trust, respect, you want insight, and you're working to like make things better. So I think that bleeds over into your ministry. So set something up where you're asking, because if you're not leading in that way, people aren't going to feel comfortable. You're not asking most, unless you're saying, you know, they're trolls, people who just want to, you know, take you down. But I think generally people want to be asked. So I think you need to ask.
I think that's so true. And, you know, I think we're talking about feedback in two kind of areas. One is your mission and projects and ideas. Hey, let's get the best possible feedback on this thing we're about to do. Good idea, right? Bad idea. How should we change it? Very important. And especially for leaders, sometimes leaders really want to do something badly and they don't want to hear any kind of pros and cons. So we have to really invite that. But I think the second, there's another kind of feedback we're inviting about our own leadership, and that's a harder one, where we're allowing people to say, because there's going to be times where we step over the line, where there's times we're going to say things we shouldn't say, or there's times we're exasperated and we snap at somebody or whatever. And do we have people around us who are willing to, who we've empowered to say, hey, you know, I don't think you handled that well. I think you need to go apologize. Or, hey, I think something you said in your sermon that was off the cuff that you thought was funny, I don't know if that went down as well as you thought. Are we inviting and allowing people in our lives to do that? And, you know, I think it starts early in our ministries, not when we're successful, but when we're just starting out to invite those kinds of things. And so that's kind of my perspective on that.
It's a good perspective. It's too late when you have started to achieve some whatever people perceive as ministry success, because they won't, if you haven't invited and created a pattern, people won't step into that space. And I just think a leader without a cycle of feedback is ultimately doomed to failure for sure. There's a passage that we're all familiar with that sometimes is hard for us to apply. It's of course Proverbs 27:6. It says, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend; profuse are the kisses of an enemy." And actually, I would just encourage people to be suspicious of those who always flatter and have only positive things to say. Maybe suspicious is the wrong word, but if they never will speak truth when obviously there are things amiss in our lives or in our leadership, it just makes a difference. So again, if you're a church planner, you are a church planner if you listen to our podcast. Just keep in mind that we get you. We get the kind of personality you have. And our exhortation to you today is you may not naturally be the kind of person who seeks the kind of feedback loop that may indeed save your life in ministry. So let me encourage you to find and seek out brutally honest feedback. We actually have an article by Michael Godfrey called "Brutal Feedback is Your Friend" on newchurches.com. Let me encourage you to take a look over there. As always, all the resources at newchurches.com are free to help you on your church planting journey as you show and share the good news of the gospel and make much of Jesus through the planting of churches. Thanks for listening to the New Churches podcast. I'm Ed Stetzer. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to the New Churches Podcast, brought to you by Send Network. If you like what you heard, take a few minutes to rate and review us or share this episode with a friend. It's the best way to show your support. To find more reliable resources to start your new church well, visit newchurches.com.